from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo reminds the importance of maintaining political and security stability. Indonesian President affirms he has conducted forest fire management efforts. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo reminded the importance of maintaining political stability in the country as a guarantee of investment security. The president was speaking while giving direction to Indonesian National Army staff and common school students and participants in the 2018 National Police Staff and Leadership School on Thursday at the State Palace, Jakarta. On the occasion, the president said that Indonesia is a large country, has the power of ethnic diversity, culture, and language. According to him, this power must be utilized as a force in promoting national development and not turning into a threat due to mismanagement. Therefore, I have said that political stability, which is called security stability, is very important. It is very important that we do development in this beloved country. The investment will not come to an area, to a country, if the country is not politically stable and unsafe. It is impossible. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo said that Indonesian security forces also have a responsibility to safeguard investment that are spread throughout Indonesia to remote areas. According to him, efforts to maintain the security of this investment will have an impact on increasing national economic growth. In addition, the president also reminded Indonesian people to be able to develop further. This is due to the development of modern technology that must be able to be followed if the Indonesian people do not want to be left behind by other nations in the world. President Joko Widodo stressed that the government has made various efforts to overcome forest fires that occurred in several regions in Indonesia. The president was speaking after meeting the Indonesian Guardian Conference on Friday in Jakarta. He said that the efforts that have been carried out by the government to overcome forest fires, including establishing a peat restoration agency and issuing a presidential instruction regarding the handling of forest clearance. This effort, according to him, is able to integrate the steps to handle forest fires so that they can reduce up to 85%.
Tidak hanya di Kalimantan, di seluruh tanah air, saya rasa.
Not only in Kalimantan, throughout the homeland, in the past 4 years, we have been very serious by establishing a peat restoration agency, then issuing presidential instruction regarding handling fires so that law enforcement can be well integrated. I think we can see the result of forest fires in the whole country decreasing to approximately 85%. Previously, it was reported the panel of judges of the Palangkaraya High Court in a decision dated March 22, 2017, stated that it strengthened the decision of the Palangkaraya District Court with Judge President Joko Widodo, Foreign Minister Governor of Central Kalimantan and the Central Kalimantan Provincial House, are guilty in smoke disasters issues that occurred due to forest and land fires. The ruling granted the citizen law suit filed by environmental activists who are members of the Central Kalimantan Anti-Smoke Movement related to forest and land fires in 2015. Based on the decision, the president was sentenced to issue implementing regulation from Law No. 32/2009 concerning environmental protection and management, which is important for the prevention and control of forest fires and land fires by involving community participation. Pertamina EP, subsidiary of state-owned oil and gas holding company Pertamina, has discovered a new oil, gas, and gas reserve. It was disclosed by Pertamina EP Exploration and New Discovery Project Director Ahmad Alfian Hussein on Thursday. The field has been named Acacia Maju 001 or EMG-001. Ahmad said that drilling started on March the 20th and on August the 20th reached a depth of 2,517 meters. The well was estimated to produce 1,700 barrels of oil per day, according to the result of a production test on the well. Ahmad said that Pertamina EP would continue exploration in potential areas. Previously, Deputy Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Archandra Tahar said Indonesia needed to intensify exploration since the country's proven oil reserves would last only in 12 years. Indonesia's proven oil reserves were only 2.0% of global proven oil reserves, while Indonesia's reserves replacement ratio was only 50%. The red-white satellites launched by state-owned telecommunication company Telkom Indonesia on August the 7th had reached 108 degrees east at 11 p.m. on August the 18th. Telkom Vice President for Corporate Communications Arif Prabowo said he also said that currently red-white satellite is nearly above the Karimata Strait and is ready to undergo an in-orbit test. The in-orbit test would be carried out within 25 days. Arif Wibowo said that the test would be completed in the third week of September. The satellite, which was launched from a Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in Orlando, Florida, USA, had taken 60 transponders. The satellite will serve Telkom customers in Indonesia and other countries in Southeast Asia, as well as those in South Asia. The satellites will present broadband and communication service, particularly in areas that cannot be served by fiber optic technology. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The French aircraft manufacturer offered a number of assistance and cooperation with PT Dirgantara Indonesia if the Indonesian government purchases the Airbus A400M military airlifter. While reviewing Airbus A400M aircraft at Halim Perdana Kusuma Military Air Base in Jakarta on Tuesday, PT Dirgantara's President Director Elvin Guntoro explained that Airbus would promise industrialization recommendation to PT Dirgantara or PTDI and help getting European Aviation Safety Agency certification of PTDI products in terms of production organization approvals and design organization approvals. One of the missions carried out by the European Aviation Safety Agency, or EASA, is a single regulatory and certification process for member countries and partner countries, where Indonesia is one of the EASA partner countries under the European Union South Asia Aviation Partnership Project and Arise Plus Civil Aviation Project. Besides, Airbus will also provide full manufacturing, sales, and maintenance rights to PTDI for the CN235, N219, and C2121 aircraft types as purchase and negotiation packages for Airbus A400M aircraft. Earlier, Airbus would provide recommendation for industrialization help with certification for EASA POA DOA for 2019. So what Airbus offered for this purchase problem to the Indonesian government was industrialization at PTDI. There are at least three that will be given to PTDI. One, helping their POA for EASA Europe certification. The second is autonomy 2, 3, 5, so all will be bestowed on us, the sales rights and the manufacturing rights of 2, 3, 5, including the last one, all sales and the maintenance is given to us. So this is what is given if the Indonesian government, through the Minister of Republic of Indonesia, if this A400M is purchased. Elvin added that his party supports the Indonesian government's move to negotiate with Airbus regarding the purchase of A400M aircraft as long as it provides benefits to Indonesia and PTDI in the context of developing Indonesia's aerospace capabilities and in line with Law 2012 concerning defense industry. On the same occasion, the Indonesian Minister of State-Owned Enterprises, Rini Sumarno, said that the government was still in preliminary discussions regarding the purchase of the aircraft, taking into account a number of factors related to the prices, government funds, and purchase and negotiation packages, which include supporting components, maintenance, management, and certification, and the prospects of ongoing cooperation between PTDI and Airbus. Indonesia added 2 gold medals to its tally in the Asian Games from the extreme sports of speed climbing and accuracy paragliding on Tuesday, making the host country 5th in the medal ranking with a total 8 gold medals, 6 silvers, and 10 bronzes, making its Games debut at Jakabaring Sports City in Palembang, South Sumatra. Sport climbing has proven to be an advantage for the host. In all Indonesian final, Ari Susanti Rahau defeated Puji Lestari after clocking in at 7.61 seconds, 0.37 seconds faster than the compatriot. Silver medalist Puji Lestari praised Ari's success and she said she hoped Aris could one day be the best in the women's speed category. President Joko Widodo had a friendly meeting with the Indonesian Church Bishop Conference in the Menteng area, Central Jakarta, on Friday morning. During the visit to the conference office, State Secretary Pratikno and Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung accompanied the President. The President was welcomed by the Church Bishop Conference officials and immediately entered the office located near the Chutmutia Mosque. In addition to staying in touch with the conference, President Joko Widodo is also scheduled to conduct a meeting with the Communion of the Indonesian Churches, and the head of state is also to meet the central board leaders of the Communion of the Indonesian or Protestant Churches, or PGI, on the same day. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo reminded the people the importance of maintaining political and security stability. President Joko Widodo affirms he has conducted forest fire management efforts. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Governments Afghanistan and Taliban to Carry Out Negotiation. After a prolonged conflict and evidence of direct meeting with the Afghan government, finally, with the Russian initiative, the Taliban is willing to carry out negotiation. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said that he had invited the Taliban and confirmed that the Taliban will meet with the Kabul government in Moscow on September 4th. This Russian initiative is aimed to solve not only the problem in Afghanistan, but also as part of Moscow's efforts to protect the interests of its citizens in Afghanistan. However, the presence of the Taliban is not without conditions. The Taliban still wants the United States to attend the meeting. Russia said that in addition to the 2 conflicting parties, it would also invite China, Pakistan, India, Iran, and United States. The crisis in Afghanistan should have been resolved a long time ago if Taliban did not insist that they only want to negotiate with the United States. Even today, they are still reluctant to negotiate with the Kabul government. There is a change in attitude from the Taliban. They complied with the ceasefire proposed by Kabul during Eid al-Fitr. Last Sunday, 19, 2018, the Afghan government offered a ceasefire to Taliban until the upcoming Prophet birthday celebration. Now, hope is beginning to arise with the Taliban's willingness to negotiate with the Afghan government. Currently, the Taliban actually had begun to open themselves with outsiders through their political office in Qatar. Even Taliban representatives also reportedly met with a senior official of the U.S. Minister of Foreign Affairs, Alice Wells. Although the meeting was not publicly admitted by the U.S., the United States argues that there is no resolution to the Afghan problem without involving the Kabul government. Although the planned meeting will take place several days to come, it is a piece of hope for the realization of peace in Afghanistan. Indonesia has also attempted to arrange a meeting for both competing parties some time ago. Is it possible that the meeting will take place in Indonesia and continue to Moscow? And finally, both sides will obtain resolution to stop the 17th year conflict and start the reconciliation step. Let's see and wait next outcome of the meeting in early September. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start our segment with an event occurred on August 24, 1941, when Adolf Hitler officially stopped the T4 action, a Nazi program conducted to systematically annihilate disabled people. The T4 action was a Nazi program that was officially implemented between 1939 and 1941. During the period, Adolf Hitler had killed 200,000 to 250,000 people with genetic disorders. After 1941, the killing was not legalized and conducted systematically. The T4 program was developed based on Nazis' policy on the racial health, namely a belief that Germans should be sterilized from unclean racial elements, including disabled people. The program was the initiator of the Holocaust program, mass destruction toward the Jewish nation in the Europe continent. We move to the next event on 24 of August 1962. Television of the Republic of Indonesia, TVRI, officially aired. Television of the Republic of Indonesia, TVRI, is the first TV station in Indonesia that officially began its broadcasting on 24 August 1962. Its primary broadcast was a trial broadcast of the flag ceremony in commemoration of the 17th Independence Day of the Republic of Indonesia at the State Palace in Jakarta on August 17, 1962. It was still a black and white broadcast. Later, on 24 of August 1962, TVRI officially began to air with the first direct broadcast of the 4th Asian Games opening ceremony held at the Gelora Bung Karno Stadium. On October 20, 1963, the Presidential Decree No. 215, 1963,
on the establishment of the TVRI Foundation, chaired by Indonesian President, was issued. On the same date, on August 24, 1989, Raja Wali Citra Televisi Indonesia, or RCTI, known as the first Indonesian private TV station, was officially established. A year later, precisely on 24 of August 1990, the second Indonesian private TV station, Surya Citra Televisi or SCTV, officially operated. We end our segment with the event of 24 of August 2006. The International Astronomical Union decided to change the status of Pluto from planet to planetoid. Ever since its discovery in 1930 by Clyde Willem Tombaugh, astronomers included Pluto as one of the planets in the solar system. At a conference held on 24 of August 2006 in Czech Republic, astronomers who joined the International Astronomical Union decided that Pluto is no longer categorized as a planet. According to the astronomers, Pluto could not be longer categorized as a planet due to its small orbit size. The size of Pluto is slightly below the orbit of Neptune. The size of Pluto is much smaller than the other eight planets in the solar system. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome to the regular My Indonesia. In today's edition, we will take you to the title about Ministry of Industry to facilitate 26 small and medium industries to promote various products in the Asian Games 2018. The Indonesian Ministry of Industry encourages domestic small and medium-sized industries to participate in enlivening the Grand 2018 Asian Games Sports Competition in Jakarta and Palembang. A total of 26 small and medium industries in Sumatra participate in the South Sumatra Expo 2018 event, which is held from 16 to 25th of August 2018 at the Jakabaring Sports Complex, Palembang. The Director General of Small Medium Industries, Ministry of Industry, Gati Wibawaningsi, in its release in Jakarta, Monday, 20th of August, stated that the small medium industries are guided by the Director General of Small Medium Industries of the Ministry of Industry and the Industry Office of South Sumatra Province. Gati said, in addition to enliven the 2018 Asian Games, the exhibition is also aimed to commemorate the anniversary of South Sumatra Province. Gati Wibawaningsi explained that small and medium industry exhibited various commodities including clothes, furniture, handicrafts, and food. It was said the South Sumatra Expo 2018 involved 560 stands consisting of companies, government agencies, and small and medium industry. In this year's implementation, the organizers targeted a total of 8,000 visitors per day and a transaction value of 10 billion rupiah. Gati explained that the ministry facilitates small-medium industries to sell its products to tourists and Asian Games participants. While in Jakarta, participants have easier access to small-medium industry products in various shopping centers, Therefore, she chooses Palembang as a more potential place. Gati also believed the four-yearly sports event gives business opportunity for national small and business enterprises, including expanding their export market. Consequently, she called for small-medium business enterprises in regional level to produce high-quality products in accordance to the characteristics of local culture, particularly the culture of Palembang and Jakarta, as the host of the event. The 18 Asian Games is an important event because it contributes many guests. Participants of the 2000 Asian Games consists of 10,000 athletes and officials, 2,500 OCA family or Asian Olympiad board, 5,500 technical delegates and 20,000 volunteers, and around 200,000 supporters and tourists from 45 countries. In addition, there are more than 3 million local spectators to witness the competed 42 sports categories held in Jakarta and Jakabaring Sports City, Palembang. Indonesian government is committed to developing high additional value, especially the implementation of the 4.0 industrial revolution. This commitment is in line with the effort of transforming the economy of Indonesia to become an industrialized base country. That was my Indonesia.
You are still with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now to bring you news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminded the people the importance of maintaining political stability in the country as a guarantee of investment security. President Joko Widodo stressed that the government had made various efforts to overcome forest fires that occurred in several regions in Indonesia. PT Pertamina EP, subsidiary of state-owned oil and gas holding company Pertamina, has discovered a new oil and gas reserve. The red-white satellites launched by state-owned telecommunication company Telkom Indonesia on August 7 had reached 108 degrees east at 11 p.m. on August 18. The French aircraft manufacturer offered a number of assistance and cooperation with PT Dirgantara Indonesia or PTDI if the Indonesian government purchases the Airbus A400M military airlifter. Indonesia added 2 gold medals to its tally at the Asian Games from the extreme sport of speed climbing and accuracy paragliding on Thursday, making the host country 5th in the medal ranking with a total of 8 gold medals, 6 silvers and 10 bronzes. President Joko Widodo held a friendly meeting with the Indonesian Church Bishop Conference in Jakarta on Friday morning. That was the end of News in Brief. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Bukalah matamu, kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi dalam semangatmu. Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa. Jadi yang terbaik. Show the world you're as bright as the sun. We deserve to be the one.
the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will bring you a topic about Nato Hill in South Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Tanah Toraja is one of the regencies in South Sulawesi province that becomes the excellent tourism destination of South Sulawesi. Not only offering well-preserved local wisdom and culture, Tanah Toraja also presents natural, religious, and culinary tourism. For those who would like to search for natural tourism objects, we recommend you to visit the Nato Hill in Tanah Toraja. This tourism object does not only offer natural beauty, but also educational tourism. The Nato Hill is located 7 kilometers from Rantepau, the capital of North Toraja, and it takes 25 minutes by transportation. The access to the Nato Hill is easy because you can take public transportation named PT-PT or by motorcycle transportation service known as Ojek. North Toraja can be accessed from Makassar via road trip and flight. Being on the Nato Hill, you will witness the utmost wonderful panorama of Toraja from the height. Listener, after enjoying the incredible panorama surrounding the Nato Hill, you can spend your time by sitting while enjoying the fresh air of the hill. If you are fond of taking photos, the Nato Hill offers a number of interesting spots for taking selfie or self-photography. Among several photo spots on the Nato Hill, the Hobbit House is one of the popular spots. Here you can take photos while sitting in front of the Hobbit House. You can also enjoy the sensation of taking photos on a pedicab with a background of nature and clouds from the height of 1,300 meters above the sea level provided by the tourism management. If you are not satisfied enough, you can try the colorful hanging hammock as a place for relaxation or taking selfies. When you visit the Nato Hill, you will be facilitated by an educational venue, namely a reading garden, a library designed to resemble to a natural building in the middle of a jungle. There are hundreds of books which are available to read while enjoying the surrounding views. If you would like to stay at the area, you can set up tent. Many tourists stay on the Nato Hill in order to witness the flawless sunrise from the top of the hill. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition about the Nato Hill, and see you tomorrow on our next edition.
Thank you.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. The topic of today's edition is the Indonesian Air Force PC-2 Radio Museum will be developed. Stay tuned to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Listeners, the Indonesian Air Force PC-2 radio station, or known as the Auri PC-2 radio station, is located in Playan sub-district Gunung Kidul Regency. The station plays an important role in maintaining the independence of Indonesia during the second Dutch military aggression in Yogyakarta. Through the radio, the news about the general offensive of March 1, 1949, and even when the Indonesian armed forces and fighters attacked the Dutch soldiers was broadcasted. The broadcast was carried out at 2 o'clock a.m. on March 2, 1949. The entire Indonesian Air Force radio networks through the NBM Tangsel Radio. The broadcast about the general offensive of March 1, 1949 was delivered to the SMN radio station in Rangun. Then it was continued to New Delhi and representative of the Republic of Indonesia in Washington, D.C., the United States of America. The Indonesian representative at the United Nations before the session of the United Nations Security Council on March 7, 1949 explained about the broadcast. Thus, it made the international world aware of the emergency of the government of the Republic of Indonesia. The Indonesian Air Force PC-2 radio, or the Auri PC-2 radio, is currently functioning as a monument or museum. The government of Gunung Kidul Regency, Special Regions of Yogyakarta, is committed to developing the museum as the center of educational and historical tourism. Head of the Central Indonesian Air Force Museum, Dirgantara Mandala, Colonel Dede Nasruddin to Radio Republik Indonesia in Yogyakarta said that the museum will be featured with various facilities. Therefore, it can be empowered as an educational and historical tourism destination. In the future, there is also a possibility to establish broadcasting academy in the area of the museum. The development of the museum will start in 2019. Listeners, Colonel Dede Nasruddin also explained that the broadcasting mission involved 26 people. Some of them are ex-announcers of Radio Republik Indonesia, or RRI. Director of RRI in Yogyakarta said that there must be clear narration in connection with RRI's major role in the history of maintaining the independence of Indonesian nation. Therefore, the struggle of maintaining the independence of Indonesia can always be remembered and taken as a good example for other announcers of RRI. Listeners,
listeners, that was miscellany about the Indonesian Air Force PC-2 Radio Museum. See you on the next edition on miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which presents you to the music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to traditional songs from Bangka Belitung. To initiate our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Kuta Lama by Habli Nur. The song tells about Muntok, the capital city of West Bangka Regency. Enjoy the song.
Pemimpin kita Bung Karno. aslinya.
You've just listened to the song entitled Kuta Lama by Hablin Nur. Through the lyrics, the song told the historical city of Muntok, located in the top west of Bangka Island. The city has abundant historical places such as the Old Mosque, Chinese Temple, and Burial Place of Raja. The city marks a monumental point in the Indonesian history, as in the past time, the city used to be the seclusion place of two Indonesian founding fathers, namely Bung Karno and Bung Hatta. Kuta Lama is usually selected as the contested song in a singing competition held to commemorate the anniversary of Muntok. The city tells important message and advice for the young generations to always love and preserve the history and culture of Muntok. Let's listen to the next traditional song from Bangka Belitung entitled Mandi Dak Behabun. Mandi Dak Behabun is the traditional song of South Bangka Regency. Performed by Hamsan Gober, the song is rich in valuable messages. It reminds young generations to keep up their spirit in working and to take care of themselves. Listener, here is Mandi Dak Behabun by Hamsan Gober. Happy listening.
Bangka Selatan, ngapai kita berpangku tangan? Jangan kita malas-malas begawi. Ingat pesan orang tua kita, pacak-pacaklah ika ngejaga diri. Semakin tinggi semakin dipuji. Dari sungai Labun naik ke Rito, biar dak behabun tapi makai hampu. Dari sungai Labun naik ke Rito, biar dak behabun tapi makai hampu. Tur kemuning lentur, ku remes lentur kerana buah. Biar habang hancur, hai hancur lebur. Cuba kengantang dakkan berubah. Ingatlah ingat pesan kerio, panting menek selamat kepala dak pening. Kelapo muda, kelapo tue, kelapo tue pacak dikukur. Hai orang muda, kita di mana? Cubelah kini kita berguyur. Jangan sampai ditinggal. Kita ngelimbang, kinyare tima. Jangan sampai dahada. Yo kita kena junjung behau, hame heneng, yo hame haro. Yo kita kena junjung behau, menek heneng, jangan takut haro. Bangka Selatan, ngapai kita berpangku tangan? Jangan kita malas-malas begawi. Ingat pesan orang tua kita, pacak-pacaklah ika ngejar. jaga diri semakin tinggi, semakin dipuji. Dari sungai Labun naik ke Rito, biar tak behabun tapi makai hampo. Dari sungai Labun naik ke Rito, biar tak behabun tapi makai hampo. Jangan sampai keliwat, menikah kelak lah jadi orang, janganlah makan hurang. Yo kita kenang junjung behau, hame henang yo hame haro. Yo kita kenang junjung behau, menek henang jangan takut haro. Kelapo muda, kelapo tue, kelapo tue pacak dikuku. Hai orang muda, kita di mana? Cubi lagi ni, kita beguyu. Dari sungai Labun naik ke Rito. Biar tak...
Voice of Indonesia.
Kadal nongak le kesambi, benang kata setak hilang. Aduh dende mun cempak ke si kembang sanda, sak sengak ke jari sahabat. Taja onyak dek nemati, nane rasa kejarian. Aduh dende cempak ke si kembang sanda, sak sengah ke jari sahabat. Kadal nongak le kesambi, benang kata setak hilang. Aduh dende mun cempak ke si kembang sanda, sak sengak ke jari sahabat. Taja onyak dek nemati, nane rasa kejarian. Aduh dende cempak ke si kembang sanda, sak sengak ke jari sahabat.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.